Okay.
2 minutes left.
Okay. We're going to start 7 lines from the bottom on Mem Vav Amud Beis from Vesava Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, Vesava Rabbi Yossi. So just to give a little bit of background what was going on in the Gemara before, so the Gemara was presenting an opinion of Rabbi Yossi, which the Gemara is going to question now, regarding the status of Truma Bezman Hazeh, whether Truma Bezman Hazeh is Doraisa or Derabanan. So the Gemara now wants to know, Vesava Rabbi Yossi Truma Bezman Hazeh Derabanan, is it really true that Rabbi Yossi holds that Truma Bezman Hazeh is only Derabanan? Vahasanya B'Seder Olam, Seder Olam is like a compilation of Brisos. It says in Seder Olam, Asher Yarashu Avosecha V'Rishta. It's a pasuk from Parshas Nitzavim. The pasuk says that a Kaddish Baruch Hu promises that you're going to inherit Eretz Yisrael just as it was promised to be given over to the Avos. So the Gemara explains Yerusha Rishona Ushniya Yeshlan Shlishas Einlan. So the Gemara says, you see that there was only what's called the Yerusha Rishona and Shniya, meaning after Yehoshua came to Eretz Yisrael, so he sanctified the land, and then afterwards Ezra came after, in other words, in the second coming to Eretz Yisrael, they had to re-sanctify the land. So the Gemara says that once Ezra sanctified the land, everyone agrees that that second Kedusha that he imbued into Eretz Yisrael never left, and there is no need to do a third Yerusha. Meaning, when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, and when the third Beis HaMikdash is built, according to this opinion in the Gemara, there's no reason to reinstitute the Kedusha, which basically means that the Kedusha Sa'aretz has been there since the times of Bayis Sheni, which for all intents and purposes means that Truma should be De'oraisa. Because the only reason you would argue that Truma should be Derabanan today is if you assume that the Kedusha Sa'aretz no longer exists. But if you think the Kedusha Sa'aretz has always been there since Bayis Sheni, so then presumably it should still exist. So this Brisa says explicitly that second Kedusha from the days of Ezra never left. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Man Tana Seder Olam Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan says that the author of this brisa was Rabbi Yossi. So how could Rabbi Yossi say that Truma Bezman Hazeh is only Derabanan when this brisa says explicitly that it's Deoraisa? Says the Gemara now, Rabbi Yossi Tane La Velo Savarla. Rabbi Yossi taught this brisa, but he didn't subscribe to this brisa. How does the Gemara know that? Haki Nami Mistaber. The Gemara says it's actually logical to say this. The Sadi for the brisa says Isa Shenidma. Oshen is chamtza b'seor shel truma, chayeves b'chala ve'ena nifselis b'tful yom, divrei Rameir v'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef v'Rabbi Shimon, potrim in hachala. The Gemara presents a machlokas here in this brisa regarding the following scenario. Let's say you have dough, and the dough is regular chulin dough, and into that dough, either truma gets mixed in, or the yeast that's used to leaven the dough is made of truma itself. So the question is, what's the status of this dough now? So according to Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, this dough is like regular dough. It's chayav and afrashas challah. If a person who's a tful yom, a person who's waiting for the sun to set after going to the mikvah, handles the dough, nothing happens to the dough. In other words, this is regular dough. What's the basis for that assumption? Because presumably the amount of truma that fell into this dough is so negligible that it's probably batel. So this is just regular chulin dough. Truma, so if it's regular truma, midurabban and truma usually is batel b'meya. Usually you have to have a ratio of 1 to 100, midrabanan, for sure to be batel. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So according to Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, this is regular, normal chulin dough. It's therefore subject to the regular rules of hafrashas challah, and it's also not going to be possible if a tful yom handles it.
No.
The concept of bitul b'neya is only a principle midrabanan. The pashtus is midoraisa. You say bitul baruv, just like you would for anything, right? Midoraisa, you always say bitul baruv. The other opinion in the brisa, however, is Reb Yossi, which is relevant to our Gemara. Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon, who say no, that somehow the truma overrides the chulin, even though, you know, ratio wise it's not as much, and therefore Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon say that this, once truma falls into this dough, or once truma is used as a leavening agent for this dough, it's no longer chayav and chal. That's the machlokas in the brisa. So the Gemara now explains svarua man de amar truma de oraisa chal de oraisa. Man d'amar truma d'rabbanan, chal d'rabbanan. So l'chora, the Gemara assumes that these two machloksim depend on one another. Meaning, if you think that chala b'zman hazeh is d'oraisa, then you probably also think that truma b'zman hazeh is d'oraisa, and vice versa. If you think that truma is only d'rabbanan, then chala is d'rabbanan. Now this brisa says explicitly that Rabbi Yosef... No. Truma and chala are two different things. In other words, in other words, the question, again, truma is one thing. Here we're talking about a case where truma fell into chulin. Right. So the question is this now chulin or is this truma? If this were to be classified as regular truma, then it would be patur from chala. Yeah, correct. Okay, so again, this brisa says that according to Rabbi Yossi, when the truma falls into this dough, it's patur from chala, which basically means that What? Which? Well, in other words, he holds that it's potter from chala. So now, seemingly, you would have to link that to his shita regarding truma. So again, remember, the whole reason why we're quoting this gemara is to prove that Rabbi Yossi does not subscribe to what it says in the Braisa and Seder Olam. Meaning, he quoted it, but he doesn't believe it. Right? That was our original question. We said, is it really true that Rabbi Yossi holds it to Rabbanan, but this Braisa says Deoraisa, and the gemara says no. You see from here that actually Rabbi Yossi really does believe that truma b'zman hazeh is only to Rabbanan, because we link truma to chala, and the Gemara explains. Iyamar pishlama kasava Rabbi Yossi chala b'zman hazeh derabanan. I understand if you tell me that Rabbi Yossi holds a chala today is only derabanan. So that makes a lot of sense. Asi dimua derabanan umafka chala derabanan. The principle of dimua means a mixture of chulin and truma. That concept is only derabanan, meaning the notion that when I have chulin and truma that get mixed together, that it's butel in a certain ratio, in this case 1 to 100. That principle is derabanan. So the fact that I'm lacking that ratio is going to pose a problem if I hold the challah is only derabanan. It's going to override the mitzvah of a fresh challah, because challah, according to this opinion, is only derabanan. But ella yomar challah deoraisa asi dimua derabanan umafka challah deoraisa. But if you believe that challah b'zman hazeh is a mitzvah deoraisa, then how can the principle of dimua, which is a ratio of 1 to 100, which is only derabanan, how could that possibly override a mitzvah deoraisa of a fresh challah? So the Gemara says, no, this is not a good. Again, at this stage in the Gemara, we've seemed to have proven that Rabbi Yossi believes that Truma Bazmana says Durabanan, and he doesn't subscribe to what it says in the Braisa in Seder Olam. Now the Gemara is going to question that. So the Gemara says, V'dilma, Kasava Rabbi Yossi Truma Bazmana Zed Duraisa, V'chal Durabanan. Maybe you can argue that there's actually a split between the two. I mean, we were assuming this whole time that whatever you hold about Chala, you hold about Truma, and vice versa. Now the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yossi can hold that Truma today is Deoraisa, but Chala is Derabanan. What's the basis for that distinction? Uched Ahadar Rav Huna Berei Derav Yehoshua. This is what Rav Huna responded. The Amar Rav Huna Berei Derav Yehoshua. Ashkachtinu L'Rabanan Devei Rav Diyasi V'Kamre. I found the students in the base measures of Rav. They were sitting around and saying, "Afilu lemanda amar truma bezman hazeh derabanan chala deoraisa." So again, this actually happens to be the opposite of what we just said. But the point is that you see that you can draw a distinction between these two halachos. What's the basis for that? Shari sheva shekivshu v'sheva shechilku nischayvu bechala v'lo nischayvu b'meiser. Because during the 14 years, when during the times of Yehoshua, when Bnei Yisrael were conquering and then apportioning Eretz Yisrael, so the Gemara says that they were chayv in the mitzvah of afreshes chala, but they were not yet chayv in the mitzvah of meiser. The basis for that distinction is based on the psukim, because in Parsha Shlach, when the Torah talks about the mitzvah of afreshes chala, it says bevoachem el haaretz. So bevoachem implies the second you enter the land. You don't have to settle the land. You don't have to actually live in the land for real yet. Once you enter Eretz Yisrael, you're chayiv in a freshes chala. Whereas when it comes to meiser in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says tuvuaz zarecha, which means you have to actually be settled. There have to be crops growing in your field. So it's not enough to just have entered Eretz Yisrael. So there actually is a precedent to distinguish between chala and between truma, or in this case meiser. Yeah, well, in this case meiser. Yeah, it's not the point. The point is the point is that you see the chala and truma and meiser are not exactly. Va'amino luhuana, and the Gemara says now I say afilu lemanda amar truma bazman hazeh doraisa chala derabanan. Even if you believe that truma today is doraisa, but chala is definitely derabanan. How do we know that? The Sanya, because the Braisa says e bivoachem. If you're gonna go take the pasuk in Parashas Shlach by hafrashas chala literally, where it says when you enter Eretz Yisrael, so yachol misha nichnasu lashnai mishlosha meraglim. I would have said once two or three of the meraglim entered Eretz Yisrael, so maybe now you're chayiv in the mitzvah of hafrashas chala, because someone just entered the land. Mar says no. Tamad lomar bivoachem bivias kucham amarti velo bivias miktaschem. You have to have everyone, or at least the majority of people, entering Eretz Yisrael. So two meraglim, three meraglim entering Eretz Yisrael is not good enough. And the Gemara explains the chiaskinu Ezra lo kulu selak. When Ezra came back during Bayashini, the majority of Jews were still left in Bavel. So the majority of Jews did not come up to Eretz Yisrael. So maybe that's the reason why you're not chayiv in hafrashas chala. So the Gemara's maskana is that maybe there's almost a technicality why hafrashas chala differs from truma and from meiser, is because that's how we interpret the pasuk by in the context of hafrashas chala, is that it's a little bit different. In other words, in the case of chala, you have to have at least the majority of Klal Yisrael here. In the case of Ezra, during Bayashini, he didn't have the majority of Klal Yisrael. Maybe that's why, regarding hafrashas chala, we can't say that the mitzvah still applies today, because it never applied to Oraisa then either, because the majority of Klal Yisrael wasn't even there. Okay. Yeah.
We do have Rosh Hashanah. We don't do Truma.
Well,
We do have Rosh Hashanah.
Again. A few things. First of all, no one says that we don't do these mitzvahs today. We're talking about whether it's Doraisa or Darabana. The second issue, there's a separate issue regarding Hafrash Eschala, which is that we most Rishonim assume that Hafrash Eschala applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, as we know. Why that should be true is a little bit questionable, because if you look at the psukim seem to make it to present it as a mitzvah tuliyah ba'aretz. It says bevo achem el ha'aretz, right, in the case of Hafrash Eschala. So one could have thought that Hafrash Eschala is like Truma and Meiser and Shemitah, where maybe it should only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Tosos and Kiddush and other Rishonim discuss why that's not true, why it's the case that it applies to the Chutz La'aretz also. Yeah. We hold the Truma as Durabana. We don't give Truma to the Kohanim today because for a variety of reasons, but today people take off Truma and they burn it or they throw it in the garbage. Yeah. Okay, so now that we finished this kind of tangential topic. Yeah.
Every,
I mean, if you have produce that grew in Eretz Israel, definitely if it was owned by a Jew, then for sure you have to take off Truma some Isers from it.
And then you just burn it.
You either burn it or you throw it in the garbage, whatever, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so now getting back to a very strange and interesting Nida topic. So the Mishnah now says, Mashal Mashlu Chachamim Beisha. So Chazal basically illustrated the levels of physical maturity of a woman by using figs. Okay, how does that work? So the Mishnah says, Paga Bochel Vitzamel. So basically, there are three stages of a fig. A fig can either be unripe, it can be ripening, or it can be fully ripe. So those are the models that we use when it comes to describing the physical maturity of a woman. So Paga, the Tinokas, right? An unripe fig, the woman is still young. In other words, she's still a katana, right? Bochel, Elu Yemei Ne'ureha. Bochel, which means the ripening fig, is a reference to a girl who's a Nara, which is basically between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. The Mishnah points out, "Bizo v'zo amru avia zakai b'mitziyasa uvemaisei adeha uvahafaras nidareha." When a girl is either a katana or a nara, basically her father essentially has control over most of the things that she does. In other words, if let's say she finds a lost object, he merits on the lost object. If let's say she has a job, so he's entitled to all the earnings that she gets, and he also has control over hafaras nidarim, over annulling any of her vows. However, tzamel, once she becomes fully mature or what we call a bogeres, kevan shebagra shuv. But once she becomes a bogerish, she's fully mature after the age of 12 and a half, so then her father no longer has any control over her. Okay, so now the Mishnah asks, Ezehu Simanin. So how do we know? In other words, what are the physical characteristics of a girl who matures? So, sorry. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yosef Galili Omer, Mishayala Hakemet Tachas Adad. Once a fold appears underneath her breasts, so that's an indication that she's reached physical maturity. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishayatu Hadadim. When the breasts get so large that they start to sag down, that's a sign that she's physically mature. Ben Azai Omer, Mishayashkar Hapitomas. When the nipple starts to darken. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Kadesha Yehinosin Yadu Al Haokets, for who Shokea Vishoa Allah Hazar. Basically, if you were to put your hand on the breasts and then it would take a while to pop back up, then that's a sign that she's physically mature. So again, different shitos about what the point of physical maturity is. Okay. We're gonna get to that in a second. We're gonna get to that right now. One second. We're gonna get to all that. Okay. So the Gemara explains. Paga odatinokas. How do we know that the term paga, that an unripe fig, refers to a girl who's still a katana? It says in Shir Hashirim, right? It talks about unripe figs in Shir Hashir. Bochel elu yemei hanu'urim. How do we know the word bochel is a reference to anara? There's a Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Maisros. Hateina misha yivchalu. The Mishnah is describing at what point figs are chayev in Maiser. It says once they start to turn white, once they start to ripen. And that Mishnah in Maisros means when the tips of the figs start to turn white, that's a sign that they're now that they're ripe enough to be chayev in Maiser. From a pasuk in Zechariah, v'tikzar navshi bahem v'gam navsham bachalavi. This pasuk is talking about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu got upset at some of the Malchei Yisrael, at Yehoahaz and Yoram, these king Malchei Yisrael who were Rishayim. He says, I'm so disgusted by them, v'gam nasham b'chalabi, my soul has been overwhelmed by them. I can't handle them anymore. So that word b'chala means that they've reached, in other words, in our context, that the girl has reached a certain level of maturity. So in that context, it means overwhelmed, it means something has grown so big. So here too, in the case of physical maturity, means that the girl has grown. And samel kavad amar yatzta malaya, the word samel as a reference to a fully ripened fig means that the girl basically has fully matured. Okay, then we said ve'izahu simanim. Rabbi Yosef galili omer mishayala hakemet. The first sheet of the Mishnah said that once a fold appears underneath the breast, then that's a sign that she's physically mature. So amar Shmuel lo mishayala hakemet mamish ela kedesha tachzir yodeha la'achorea v'niris kimishayala hakemet tachasada. Basically, it just means that if the girl were to stick her hand behind her back, then it would look like a fold appeared under her breast. It doesn't actually have to be that there's a fold there. That's the Gemara's clarification. Okay, then the Gemara says Shmuel badak ba'amsei v'yavla dalid zuzei demei boshta. So Shmuel would actually inspect his maidservants to see the size of their breasts in order to determine if they had reached physical maturity, and then he would pay them 400 zuz because he embarrassed them. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Itamei. This is Shmuel's own opinion. I'm sorry. You're right. Four Zuz. Right. So the Gemara says, Damar Shmuel, Liolam Bohem Tavodu, Liavodin Nesatim Velo Levusha. Even though there's a mitzvah saseh that you're not allowed to free your Eved Kanani, or in this case, your Shivcha Kanadis, and in fact, you're supposed to work them. In other words, the Gemara says, that's true when it comes to work, but not for embarrassment. So since Shmuel wanted to determine this halacha, so he basically paid them off for the value of the embarrassment that he was causing. Well, yes, except that Shmuel held that there were limitations on that, right? In other words, you can't just abuse your Evan, right? You can't. Like, there's a mitzvah of avodas perech. Presumably not. Presumably, in this case, he gave them the money on the intention that she would own it herself. Okay, then the Gemara says Shmuel miyached lahen. Shmuel was very makbid that he would make sure that his avadim and the shfachos, he would basically pair one with the other. He would only let one eved have relations with a specific shifcha, and he wouldn't let them, you know, choose whoever they wanted on a given day. But Rav Nachman machlev lahen. Rav Nachman was not so makbid. He said, you know, just have relations with whoever you want. Rav Shishas maser lahen la'araviv amar lahen izdah arumi Yisrael. He would give his maidservants over to an Arab man and say, basically, have relations with these guys, but don't come near the Jews, basically, is what he said. Okay, then we said Rabbi Yossi Omer. So my oketz, Amar Shmuel Ok Social Da. That's here in the Mishnah talking about how the oketz darken is a reference to the nipple. Tana Rabbanan, Elohim Simare Bagras, Rabbi Eliezer Rab Tzadik Omer Mishis Kashkashu Hadadin. When the breasts get so large that they bang into each other, that's a sign of physical maturity. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka Omer Mishayachsif Rosh Hachotem. When the tip of the nipple starts to darken. So asks the Gemara, Mishayachsif Askudal. At that point, once the nipple is darkening already, she's already past the age of a Bogera. So why were you saying that she's still a Katana or a Nara? When the nipple splits, when the point from where the milk emerges becomes visible, that's the point where she reaches physical maturity. Rabbi Yossi says, once a ring appears around the breast, that's a sign of physical maturity. Rabbi Shimon Omer, which the Gemara is going to define in a second what that means, but basically, that's a reference to the area right above the woman's womb. Once that area starts to soften, that's a sign of physical maturity. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha Siman and Nasnu Chachamim Beisha. So Chazal gave us three signs of physical maturity for a woman by the pubic area, and then three signs on top of her body as well. And the Gemara explains Paga Milamala if she's basically still a katana, in other words, in terms of her breasts, so then Biadua Shalo Hevia Shnei Cyrus. The fact that her breasts are not you know, fully grown in yet is a sign that she has not yet developed two pubic hairs. Bochel Milamala Biadua Shehevia Shnei Cyrus. If she's a bochel, she's in that middle stage, she's a nara, then you know that she's developed two pubic hairs. Samil Milamala if she's already, you know, fully matured, she's a bogeres, so then not only does she have two pubic hairs, but that kaf, that area above the womb, is softened. So my kaf, what is that area? Ravuna makum tafuach yesh lemalo meyoso makum. There's this basically like a mound that's above the womb. Kevetche megadeles mismaich v'holich. The older she gets, the softer it becomes. So in other words, that part of the body is considered a sign of maturity. Then the Gemara says shalu es rebbe halacha kedivrei. So we just thrown out like 10 different opinions here. So in other words, which of these opinions is correct in terms of determining physical maturity? So the Gemara says shalach luhu kedivrei kula lahachmir. We have to be machmir potentially for all of these opinions. Now the Gemara points out Rav Papa v'Rav Chinana b'Rei de Rav Yika chad masneiha v'chad masneiha chatzer tzura. So up until now, we were talking about, you know, stages of physical maturity, and the Gemara left off with a statement of Rav Papa that we have to be machmir for all these opinions. But now the Gemara is going to actually quote a second version, which has nothing to do with what we were just talking about, which has to do with the halachos of taking off maaser in a courtyard in Suri, where the Gemara is going to also end off that statement with the line, you know, you have to follow all the opinions Lahachmir, which we'll get to in a second. So what is this discussion about? This non, the Mishnah Meiser says, Ezo hichatzer tzura shechayeves b'meiser. What's the definition of a courtyard in Suri where if I bring my produce into the courtyard, now I'm chayev in meiser? Because the halacha is that in order to be chayev in meiser, the item has to be somewhat protected. If it's left out in the open, then it's not chayev in meiser. So, in other words, what type of courtyard am I bringing my produce into that now I'm chayev in meiser? So, what?
What is the reason?
That's based on Sukkim. That there has to be a level of shmira that's associated with the produce. So the Gemara says, Reb Shimon Omer, Chatzer Atzuris Shehakilim Nishmarim B'socha. It means one of these courtyards where the items, the utensils in the courtyard are fully protected. So my Chatzer Atzuris. So what exactly is this courtyard? So Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shekein B'tzur Moshivin Shomer Al Pesach HaChatzer. In Tzur, they used to have a watchman or a guard, basically standing guard over the courtyard. So that was considered protected enough in order to be Chayv and Meiser. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kol She'achad Poseach V'achad Noel P'tura. Rabbi Akiva says that if you don't have one exclusive guard for the courtyard, if you have multiple people, let's say, you know, one guy takes, you know, the first shift and second guy, you know, does the second shift, that's already not guarded enough for the produce in this courtyard to be chayv and meiser. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, kol she'in adam bosh le'echol b'socha chayavis. If a person would not be embarrassed to eat food in this courtyard, I mean, let's say it was concealed very well and it was a relatively private area where no one could see into it. So according to Rabbi Nechemya, that courtyard is protected enough to be chayv and meiser. Rabbi Yosi Omer, kol she'nichnasim la ve'in omrim la ma'atam mevakesh p'tura. If you were to enter this courtyard and no one was going to stop you and say, like, what are you doing here? Meaning you have the right to walk through this courtyard as well. So then you would be putter from meiser. So again, these are just a whole bunch of different shittos that we presented. And then finally, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, let's say you have basically a double courtyard, and where let's say the people who live in the inner courtyard have to go through the outer courtyard to get to their inner courtyard. So then the halacha is that the inner courtyard is chayev and meiser, but not the outer courtyard. So the Gemara says, Shalu es Rabbi halacha kedivrei mi, amarlu halacha kedivrei kulon lahachmir. So according to the second version of the Gemara, that line of Rav Papa was referring to all of these cases that have to do with meiser, as opposed to the first cases that have to do with physical maturity of the woman. So again, there's two different versions about where Rav Papa made his comment. Okay, so now the Mishnah says, Bas Esrim Shana Shalohi Via Shtei Sairos. So let's say you have a girl who's 20 years old, but she has still not yet developed her Shtei Sairos. In other words, she has not yet shown signs of physical maturity. So Tavi Raya Shehi Bas Esrim Shana Vihi Ailanis Locho Letzis Velo Misya Bemes. She has to prove that she's 20, and then once she can prove that she's 20, then we declare her an Ailanis, right? And basically, an Ailanis is a girl who physically can't bear children, who physically can't reach maturity. At a certain point, every man and woman has to be able to halachically reach maturity, even if they're physically not developing signs of maturity. So in other words, at some point before a person dies, they have to be physically mature. So the question becomes, well, if you're not showing signs of physical maturity, where normally we say at the age of 12 or 13 we call you mature, so what's the new cutoff point? So the Mishnah says that once a girl hits the age of 20, so if she can prove to us that she's 20, then we declare her an Ailanis. Once we declare her an Ailanis, she's now a Gedola. The only thing is that for technicalities, she can't do Chalitza or Yibam. Now, the reason why she can't do Chalitza or Yibam is because the whole point of the mitzvah of Yibam is to be able to have children. This girl can't have children. And chalitza also, you can only do chalitza in a scenario where she's otherwise right. You could have done yibam. So if there's no, so in other words, the only reason why she can't do chalitza and yibam is just for a technicality, but for all other halachos, she's now considered a gedola. However, the Mishnah says, Ben Esrim Shana, Shelo Hevi Shtei Sairos, Yaviu Rayashu, Ben Esrim Shana, Vahu Sris, Locholitz, Velom Yabim, Elu Divrei Beisela. So again, Beisela says the same standard applies both for men and women. Once they hit the age of 20, so if they haven't developed Sairos yet, then they have to prove that they're either a Sris or an Ailis, or a Sris is the term for the male, right? A male who's impotent. So once you can prove that, so again, he's a gadol, he just can't do chalitza even for the same reason, because again, he can't father children. However, Beishamai Omrim, Zev Zeb Ben Shmonez. Beishamai has a different age. He thinks that the cutoff point both for men and women is 18, and the Mishnah says that we actually have a split between the two. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hazachar Kedivri Beisilel, Vahanekiva Kedivri Beishamai, Shealisha Memeheres Lavo Lifnei Haish. So what we assume is that we follow Beisilel for the man, so for a man we assume 20, for the girl we assume 18, because as the Mishnah says, that women typically mature faster than men do. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, there's a brisa at the end of Maseches Yevamos that describes a case of a person who tries to do Yibam where the Yibam is partially effective. So for example, we know that of course once a boy hits the age of 9, so any active relations that he has in Halacha is meaningful. So let's say, but again the problem is that he's still a katan. So if let's say for example a 9-year-old attempts to do Yibam, or a 20-year-old who has not yet developed the Cyrus, or who's considered a Sris. So in both of those cases, the Brisa in Yevamo says that we have to treat the woman that to whom he performed Nibum as basically like a quasi Yevama and a quasi married woman, meaning she needs a get misafik, and she also needs chalitza misafik, because we're not really sure whether this Yibum was effective. So the problem is, didn't our Mishnah just say that until a 20-year-old can either prove to us that he's 20, or at least he's developed Shtei Cyrus, so then we don't treat him like a gadol? Yet this Brisa in Yevamo seems to assume that once he hits the age of 20, regardless of his physical maturity, we automatically treat him as potentially being a gadol. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav, v'hu shenol dubo simani sris. It means he's developed those external signs that prove to us that he's a sris. Meaning, again, he's proven to us that he can't father children, but at least we know that he's a gadol now, because he developed all the signs that we mentioned before. And Amar Rav, dekanami, dekatani, v'hu sris shmamina. If you look at the Brisa in Yevamos, and in our Mishnah, it actually is meduyak that way, it actually sounds that way, because the Mishnah says, v'hu sris. Now, how, in other words, how else would you know that the person is a sris, unless he's already developed those signs, proving that he's impotent and that he can't father children? So the Gemara now wants to know, v'chi lo no dulo simani sris ad kama. Okay, so let's say the kid is 20, but he hasn't developed any of these signs either. So again, there has to be a point in his life where we say, okay, now for sure you're a gadol, because if by the age of 20 he doesn't have signs, what's the new cutoff point?
So what's the definition here of a gadol?
So let's say, for example, a 25-year-old who doesn't have Shtei Cyrus is Machal Shabbos. According to this, he's not Chayiv Misa, because he's not a gadol yet. Right?
Well, why wouldn't we think that any boy 13 years old,
this is a big discussion that Rishonim have, where the simplest answer to that question is that there are really two factors that determine a person being a gadol, and it's not just being 12 or 13, it's also what we call simanim. Right, so most Rishonim assume that those two factors are necessary to declare a person a gadol. And being a gadol has 1,000 nafkaminas, right? Being chayiv misa, being chayiv in mitzos, for anything, basically. So okay, we're gonna discuss that later.
For a male, it's just the two hair. That's it.
For a male, it's developing hairs. But again, if he can develop other simani sris, then that would prove to us that he's not going to be physically mature. But he's a gadol now. But now the issue is he doesn't even have those simani. In other words, he has no hairs and he has no simani sris. We're gonna talk about that later. Yeah. So in other words, here he has nothing. So the question is, so the guy's 95 years old and he's being Machal Shabbos, is that still a Chayiv Misa? Like, that's crazy.
I assume we must hold today that the definition is 13 and regardless.
Well,
I never heard of anybody doing a
inspection. We're gonna discuss this tomorrow and the day after on the next few dafim about assumptions and about assuming that a person is a gadol. That's a different issue. Here we're talking about a case where we know for a fact that he hasn't developed Shtei Cyrus. That's the case here, right? So the question now becomes, so at what stage do we say, okay, now he's definitely a gadol? So the Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Chiya ad rov shnosav. Once he's passed the majority of his life. That sounds like a weird thing. No one knows. So we assume that means once you pass 35. Why is 35 more than the majority? Because the Pasuk in Tehillim says, right, Yemei Shnoseinu Shivim Shana. The average lifespan is 70, supposedly. So therefore, once you pass 35, you've lived the majority of your life. So once a person hits 35, they are definitely a gadol without question. So now the Gemara points out, Ki asu l'kamei d'Rabbi Chiya, ikachish amar lu avar yuha, ibar yamar lu akhashua, tahani simanim zimnin da'asu machmas kishusa, zimnin da'asu machmas briyusa. So if a person came in front of Rabbi Chiya and he was lacking these simani sris, so he would tell them either to lose weight or to gain weight, depending on what they looked like, because sometimes he would say that the simanim will come in if your body figure is correct. So he would tell them either to lose weight or to gain weight in order for those simanim to come in. Amar Rav, Hilchasa b'chule pirka, b'yes liyes, v'ula amar, disnad tanad, udalo tanad, lo tanad. This is a very fundamental machlokes, basically regarding this entire parak that we just learned, which is, whenever you see an age in the parak, right, once a person is 20, now he's a sris. Once a person is 13 or 12, there he or she is a god, right? So the question is, how do we assess that age? Let's say, for example, a person is born on, let's just assume that the year starts in, Aleph Tishrei. Person is born on Chav Tes Elul. So does that mean that their 1 year finishes after that day? I mean, we know that for like Maseches Rosh Hashanah with the kings, right? So the question is, does that apply here too? Or maybe you say no. You just go based on whatever day they were born, and you go 13 years later on that exact day. So the Gemara says that seems to be a machlokas. So according to Rav takes what seems to be the simple approach. He said basically every time an age is listed here, it just means that day X number of years later, 13 years later, 18 years later, 20 years later. But Ula says, he says you can only make that assessment when the Mishnah actually says it. Meaning, let's say the Mishnah says, Ben Shloshes Reshana V'yom Echad. That's an indication, 13 years later to the day. But let's say, for example, in the Mishnah that we just read, in the context of Bas Esrim Shana Shalohi V'yashdei Cyrus, it doesn't say Bas Esrim Shana V'yom Echad. So Ula would tell you, so in our case, once a girl is 1 month into her 19th, going into 20th year, she is already considered, you know, if she has the simanim, an eilonis, or the guy would be considered a sris. So the Gemara... Okay, so the Gemara explains. So Ula's opinion makes a lot of sense, because that's why in all the other Mishnahs earlier in the Perek, the Mishnahs specified Yom Echad, and in our Mishnah, the words Yom Echad are not here. But El Rav, listen, but according to Rav, why did the Mishnah seemingly arbitrarily leave out the words Yom Echad? If he holds that whether it says it or not, then, you know, it still means to, you know, to the same day. Why did the Mishnah say it? The ode, Tani Reb Yosi ben Kiper Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Shnas Esrim Sheyatsu Mimena Shloshim Yom, Harehi Kishnas Esrim Lechol Dvareha. So comes Rabbi Eliezer and says that once a person is into their 20th year, once they're 30 days into the 20th year, meaning 30 days after their 19th birthday, they are now fully considered to be 20 years old for all the halachas that we mentioned regarding a sris and an eilonis. So if anything, you see that Rav's opinion, first of all, is textually incoherent, because why does our Mishnah leave out the word Yom Echad when the other Mishnah mention it? And also, it just seems to be wrong, because this statement seems to say that once you're a month after your 19th birthday, you're halakhically considered to be 20.
So for Baal, it would be 8 years in 1 month?
Oh, you're saying for the age that's right for Bia? Well, no, because in that case, the Mishnah actually, well, uses the word Yom Echad. So that, again, that would depend on whether you hold like Ula or like Rav. It has to, in other words, the cases are only in examples where the Mishnah leaves out the word Yom Echad. That's the machlokas.
I don't understand this.
What do you mean?
Because if you live 12 months,
yeah,
it's 1 year.
There's a principle in halakha, which again is maybe going on behind the scenes here, which is that we assume miktsas hashana kishana. Once you've lived part of the year, which in this case
so
we're assuming is 30 days,
done for the year?
Or you're considered to be within the next year for these purposes, for these halachas. Okay? V'chein hora Rebbe Belud, shnas shmona esrei sheyatsu mimena shloshim yom, harei kishnas shmona esrei lechol dvareha. Rebbe said the same thing. Rebbe also said that once you're 30 days into, you know, past your 17th birthday, you're basically considered to be 18. So the Gemara explains. Bishlama de Rebbe Yu de Rebbe Yosef ben Kiper lo kashya hakevei shamai hakevei sila. So I understand Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi ben Kiper, the reason why they're talking about 20 and 18, that's just the machlokas that we had in our Mishnah about whether we follow Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, whether the cutoff point is 18 or 20. But according to Rav, where Rav was the one who said that we always assume that, you know, in other words, we always assume that it's to the exact day. How can either of these opinions say that once you've lived 30 days into, you know, after the 17th or 19th birthday, that you're now called 18 or 20? Rav would have to assume that you have to reach the birthday of the following year. So the Gemara says no. Tanahi, the Sanya, Shana ha'amura bekachim, Shana ha'amura bevati arichoma, Shtei shanim shebestei achuza, Sheish shanim shebe eved ivri, V'chein shebeben v'shebebas, Kulan me'esliyaz. The Gemara says that whenever it comes to the standard of years that are required for various halachos, the assumption is that it has to be the exact day. For example, a karban, so certain karbanos, the halachos, the Torah says, keves ben shnaso, right? So the animal has to be a year old. So again, if the animal is born a chav tes el, it doesn't become a year old 2 days later. It means it has to live to the following chav tes el, right? That's for kachim. When it comes to the halachos of batei arichom, if you want to buy a house back in a walled city, maybe we spoke a lot about that back in Erichin, right? If you want to buy a house that was in a walled city, you have a year to buy it. Again, it doesn't mean a year in the, you know, in other words, like the calendaric year. Means until that date the following year. The same is true when it comes to the 2 years of a stay achuza. If you want to, you know, buy back your ancestral field, you have 2 years to the day that you sold it. The same is true when it comes to the 6 years that your Eved Ivri or your Amma Ivri as a slave.
Yeah.
What was that?
7 years and 50 years is
exactly. Well, no, because that's not Yovel Shemitah. Just depends on the calendar. That, you know, you don't determine when Yovel Shemitah are. This, if I buy an Eved in the middle of the year, right? So if
yeah,
right, exactly, yeah. those are always fixed. And then the last thing the Gemara says, which we'll clarify in a second, is v'chein shebeben v'shebebas, which again we'll have to see in a second what that means. So all of those things we say are me'es leis, meaning that it's the exact date, however many years later, right? So the Gemara now explains the sources for all these things. Shana hamur b'tachim enolad, Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Amar Kra. Keves ben shnaso, shnaso shelo, velo shana shel minyan olav. It means the year of the animal as opposed to the year in the calendar. What about shana hamur bevati arichom minolan? Amar Kra, the pasuk says in Parshas Bahar, aton shnas mimkaro shelo velo shana shel minyan olav. The same thing. When it comes to bevati arichom, you have a year since you sold the house and not a year in the calendar. Shtei shana shel bestei achuza minolan. Amar Kra, this is actually a address we had back in Erichin. I don't know if you remember this. It's like all the way back in July. The pasuk says, the mispar shnei svuos yimkarlach. You could have a scenario where you actually harvest three crops in 2 years. For example, if you buy a field, let's say an el, the end of the year, so you could potentially harvest from that year and then do two more regular harvests the following year. So you see clearly, it's not about the calendar year, but it's about the day in the calendar when you actually bought it. Now, what about sheish shanim she'be'eved ivri min alan? Amar kra sheish shanim ya'avod uvashivis. Meaning, uvashivis nami ya'avod. There are cases when the eved can work into the seventh year. If I bought the guy in the middle of the year, so then he has to work for me all the way midway through the seventh year. What about Sheba Ben Sheba Bas Lamai Hilchasa? So Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav LeInyan Erichin. When the Gemara talks about Ben and Bas, right, that has ramifications regarding Erichin, right? In other words, if you pledge to give their value to the Beis Hamikdash, so again the question being, what age are they in terms of determining what their value is, will depend on May Es Liyeh. So you have to wait till that day of that year. What about Rav Yosef Amar Lefirkin Diyotei Dofen? Rav Yosef says no. The ramification of Ben and Bas is for all the halachas that we mentioned in this entire parak, all the things about a sris and an islandess and, you know, a person who can have bia and a gadol and things like that. So Amar Le Abaye Mi Pligas. So Abaye says, are you disagreeing with this? Amar Le Lo Hu Amar Chadav Anami Nechadav Velo Pligina. Meaning everyone agrees that both for erichin purposes as well as for the purposes of the parak of Yotzei Dofen, that the standards of a year are following the personal year of that person or animal or whatever the case may be. Because if you're going to tell me that there's really a machlokes here regarding, let's say, erichin, regarding parak yotzei dofen, so man amar le erichin lo amar le yotzei dofen. How could you say that according to Rav Yosef that the standards of a year being to the exact day are only true for erichin, but they're not true for this parak? But we just said before on the bottom of Mem Zayin that according to Rav, everyone agrees that all the halachos that are presented in this parak, when we talk about a year, it means to the exact day. So the Gemara says, right, El Lamando Amar Le'erichin, my time, Elo Amar Le'yotzei Dofen. So why does the opinion that holds Erichin, that holds Rav Yosef, why does he deny the second opinion? The Gemara says, Dumya Dahanach, Mahanach Dechsivan, Afhani Nami Dechsivan. We have to go with things that are written explicitly. Erichin is written in Chumash. The years for a Sris and an Islandess are now written in Chumash anyway. The Idach, Hai Sheba Ben Vesheba Bas, Sheba Zachar Vesheba Kevin Mibayle. The other opinion that disagrees with Erichin says that if you look in the context of Erichin in Parshas Bechukosai, the Torah always uses the word Zachar and Akeva as opposed to Ben and Bas. So Ben and Bas don't sound like talking about Erichin. Amar Rav Yisrael Bar Nachmini, Amar Rav Yalazar, Halacha Rav Yosi Ben Kippur, Shamar Mishum Rav Eliezer. So we paskin like Rav Yosi Ben Kippur that we quoted earlier. Amar Rav Zera, Ezke Ve'isak Ve'egmar L'shmaita Mipume Demara. He says, I should merit to go up to Eretz Yisrael and hear this ruling directly from the person who said it. Kisalik Ashkechel Rav Yalazar. So when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he found Rav Yalazar. Amar Le, Amar Halacha Rav Yosi Ben Kippur. Did he really say that? Did he really say that, you know that we paskin like him? Amar Le, Mistabra Amar. Yes, he says that it's actually logical that I said that. Midechule Pirkei Tane Yomechad V'Hakol Katane. The fact that we leave out the word Yom Echad here implies that in this case it doesn't have to be to the exact day, but rather it has to just be the general year. Hajar Lachiyot Sedofen.
So it's like today. Did we learn three blocks?